I am Brandon Sewell. I am the owner of Seal Pro Painting in Central Florida, and I am the host of the Off the Ladder podcast. We exist to help home service business owners learn so that they can lead well and ultimately live life off of the ladder. I'm excited about today's guest. I've got Alex Judd here with me, and he is the owner and founder of Path for Growth. And he is helping impact-driven leaders practice healthy growth. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Brandon, so stoked to be here, man. I've been looking forward to this. Let's get some people off the ladder, man.
That's right. And, you know, just really quick, as we were talking about before the show, obviously, I was a part of Entree Leadership years ago, and that's where we originally met. And obviously, being a part of Entree Leadership for a while was very helpful for me. And I've seen you go off and start Path for Growth and been inspired by, you know, the content that I see you create and just the mission that you have. So I'm excited to have you here to dive into this. So tell, just for those who are listening, tell them a little bit more about Path for Growth and the mission that you're on to help leaders.
Yeah, I appreciate that question, Brandon. And like I already said, I just appreciate that we're getting this time together. It's going to be good to connect with you. The mission of our business is really the why behind our business, right? It's the reason why I left to start my full-time job. We've got 9 team members now. It's the question that we ask as first step in the interview process is how people resonate with this purpose. It's the way we really kind of dictate everything we do. We always say we exist to help impact-driven leaders step into who they were created to be so that others benefit and God is glorified. And so obviously that's the overarching why that manifests as one-on-one coaching, team trainings, and in-person experiences. But the reason why we do what we do is that mission statement, Brandon.
That's so good. And I think what you said is so fundamental. Knowing who you are is key in being able to get to where you want to go. And, you know, having just that mission mind set, you know, to be, you know, wanting to make a positive impact is huge. And, you know, so I love what you said there. Now, with every business, obviously, if you're on mission to do anything, you're trying to grow, right? And the greater we can increase our resources, right, the more impact we can have, right? So if your resources are small, it's hard to have that impact, even if you want to, right? So part of growing and scaling a business, especially when you want to have an impact, you make a difference in your team members' lives, your community, and just wherever you're looking to make an impact, you have to have resources to do that. So growth is important. Now, from my understanding, what you're doing is you want that to be a healthy process, right? So how would you encourage, you know, let's say there's home service business owners on here and they're listening to this and they have a small business, they're working out in the field, they have dreams of growing this business, getting off the ladder, having greater impact on their community, but they know that, you know, the reality is like they have to have the resources to grow. And they have to have the resources to make an impact. How can they do that in a healthy way?
Man, I so appreciate that question. And I really love how you frame that question, Brandon, because you highlighted the fact that resources can be a vehicle for creating impact. And I think that's actually a really important to call out is that resources do not equal impact. Right. Just the fact that you have resources does not guarantee that you're going to make an impact. And so often I think we can get into this head, especially in small business, where we say, oh, one day when I have a bigger team, good. One day when I have more capital, one day when I have better customers, one day when I have that equipment, then I'll be able to make an impact, right? And I just think, I mean, I think Jesus said it first, right? He who can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. And so impact is possible today, and we need to recognize that. And it's out of that posture that then we are blessed with the opportunity to grow. And so that's the posture that healthy growth always starts from. But then, Brandon, I'd be interested to know, have you ever said this phrase, or I'm sure you've heard this phrase, right? If you're not growing, you're dying. Have you heard that phrase before?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So like we say that phrase all the time, right? It's like common business lexicon today. Like if you're not growing, you're dying. And we like to sound really tough whenever we say it, right? If you're not growing, you're dying. And one of the things that I had to realize, I mean, literally within the first 6 months of my company, is just because you're growing doesn't mean you're living. And I realized that, man, there's a lot of people out there and there's a lot of businesses out there that externally they're growing, but on the inside, they're just as dead as those that aren't. And I just realized, man, early in my business, I was growing my business in such a way we were growing exponentially. And I realized, man, something is growing proportional to the rate of my business. And that's my personal stress level. And I realized that is so unsustainable, right? Like I kind of came to this conclusion, like if this is 6 months in, 3 years will kill me. And so I just started to ask this question, like, is there a better way? And what I started to find is like, absolutely, there's a better way. And I started to coincide with business owners, business leaders, entrepreneurs that I deeply respected that were growing their businesses. They were increasing revenue. They were increasing team size. They were increasing profitability. And I was looking at them and they had this sense of peace about them. And they had this sense of enjoyment about them. And it was like they weren't waiting for freedom to happen. They were enjoying the freedom that was available to them. And then I looked at their marriages and it's like their marriages were healthy and their kids like actually knew them and liked them. That's a novel idea for a small business owner, right? And I saw these people and it was out of seeing those people, I said, that's what I want. And not only do I want that, I want to train that to other people. And so the phrase that we started to apply to those individuals was healthy growth. What does it look like to grow your business in such a way that as your business grows, your stress level actually decreases? And in so many ways, that's really the fundamentals of what we teach business owners and business leaders at Path for Growth.
Awesome. So obviously there's going to be unhealthy ways. Would you be able to identify, maybe for the listeners, what are some unhealthy things that you see leaders doing that could lead to unhealthy growth? And then what are some things that they can implement and practice to get on that path for healthy growth?
Yeah. Can we split that into two parts? Can I start with like the signs of unhealthy growth? And I'd be interested to know, like I'll list a couple of them and then I'd be super interested to know like which of these stand out to you as being really relevant for the people in y'all's industry, right? The first one that stands out to me is as you delegate, quality decreases, unhealthy growth. Right. Like there's a way to delegate in such a way that like you preserve quality. But most times businesses don't do that. They delegate responsibility. They delegate the job. They delegate the management and quality takes a nosedive. Right. And so that's unhealthy growth. Number two, I would say centralized decision making. So all approvals, all problems to be solved, all questions to be answered, they all come to you. Right. Your title may say CEO, but you're not CEO. You're the CEB, right? You're the chief easy button. Right. And anytime anyone needs anything, not even just your team, but also your customers, because they all have your cell number, right? They're calling you to ask you, and you're the only one that people trust with the answer of things, right? Unhealthy growth, because that's not sustainable, right? Like that's just going to lead you being, if you become $1 million business, that just means you're going to have 1 million more phone calls that you're answering, right?
Right. That's good.
The next one I would say is within the team, backbiting, infighting, and gossip. And a lot of times we would say that's because you got bad people on the team. Sometimes that's the case, obviously. But the other thing that stands out is a principle, disorganization often devolves into drama. Right. And so oftentimes it's not that these people want to gossip. It's not that they want to get in this toxic competitive atmosphere where they can't get along. It's that there's no clear lanes. There's no clear roles. There's no clear boundaries or values. And so in the absence of all that, it just becomes like a UFC cage match called a business. Right. And that's that's not really helpful at all. And then finally, like just we already said it, right? Increase stress level and decrease personal health of the leader, right? So you created this business because you wanted quote unquote freedom. and you look up 3, 5, 7 years in and your business is bigger than it's ever been and you feel less free than you've ever been. This thing is a chore and it's a burden instead of being a blessing and an opportunity. And therefore, you actually start to resent the thing that you theoretically own. And so those are some of the big ones that stand out as being hallmarks or benchmarks of what I would call toxic growth. I guess one more I would say is revenue is a vanity metric, right? Mm. Okay, great. You used to be a $100,000 business and now you're a $300,000 business. You used to be a $300,000 business. Now you're a $600,000 business. If your profits cut in half, it doesn't matter, right?
Right.
That's beside the point. And so like, let's stop focusing so much on revenue. It's a vanity metric. Let's focus on profitability because that's what actually matters for you, your family, your team members, and their families.
Yeah, that's really good. And, you know, to answer your question, all of these apply to our industry. And, you know, I think for many small businesses, it does. And I wanted to add this, and I say this a lot, and, you know, for my listeners, I apologize, but I think it's so important. So I'll say it again, is that in order to get these right in your business, I think you have to have really solid personal foundations. Because stress that comes from your personal foundations are going to leak over into your business, and then you're not going to be able to make clear, decisions in these different areas. And I've noticed that for myself. When I have my personal affairs in order, when I'm not stressed about my personal life, then it frees me up to not feel so much pressure on the business side of things. And, you know, some things that I'll just, you know, outline is like, you know, your marriage. And the episode that's going to come out before this episode, we really dive into that. But like your marriage, like how is your relationship with your kids? How is your personal financial situation? Like if you're, you know, house poor, you got, you know, multiple cars that you have loans on, and you've got a bunch of consumer debt and you're just barely surviving on the home front, well, that's going to make business really stressful and really complicated to be clear and concise about what you want and what direction you're going to go, because that stress is just going to dominate your decision making. You know, it's like, okay, I need boundaries, but I also need money to pay all these bills. So, you know, quality is decreasing because I don't have things covered at home. So I just wanted to preface that. And so let's dive into this first point, quality decreasing. For me, what I see in my own industry, you know, if we just look at contractors as a whole, you know, you talked about revenue being a vanity metric. And I think a lot of times guys are trying to shoot for like growing these businesses with massive revenues that they're willing to compromise and do whatever it takes to get there, if that makes sense. So it's like, okay, I'm going to delegate and I'm going to get more stuff done. I'm creating more problems, but at least like they're seeing this, the revenue go up, right? How do you suggest somebody in that, you know, position deals with that? Are you a home service business owner? Do you have a strategic way to get reviews for your business on Google, Facebook, and other platforms? If you don't, then you need to implement Nice Job. Since implementing Nice Job, we have grown our reviews from 10 all the way up to over 60 reviews online in less than a year. If you're interested in using this feature in your business and growing your Google My Business reviews, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up for a free trial of Nice Job. And let me know if you sign up so I can help you to implement it and get a strategy in place with your team to get more reviews so you can start winning on Google and beating out your competition locally.
Yeah. There's so many things that come to mind there, but it's like, I am so susceptible to this, right? Let me not pretend that I'm immune to this, right? I'm a business owner, right? And so there's times sure. where if I'm not careful, I'll do stuff where it's like, it's growth for the sake of growth. It's like, why are you doing that? It's like, well, because I want to grow, right? It's what I grow through. And it's like, if I'm being honest with myself, when I make these decisions, like to hire this person or to send out this marketing email or to take on this job, right? Or to chase this opportunity, right? When I do these things, it's like what I'm really thinking to myself is that's a problem for future Alex, right? Like I current Alex isn't going to deal with that. That's a problem for future Alex. And I just got to a point, Brandon, where I was like, man, future Alex was starting to get pretty frustrated with all the decisions that I was making like that. And, right. and not only that, let's be very clear, future Alex was disappointed in it, but if I'm not careful, future Aspen, who's my wife, is disappointed in it. Like my friends are disappointed in it. My community, I'm about to have a kid, right? Like I'm going to disappoint them too. And so I love that you highlighted like, man, get your personal affairs in order. We always say, if you want to put your business in order, start by putting yourself in order, right? Because if you can get yourself organized and healthy, you're going to be radically equipped to lead an organized and healthy business. And so the first thing I want to say is just, man, I relate to you if you make decisions that look like growth for the sake of growth. What I have learned is growth for the sake of growth is dead. Because growth for the sake of growth is really bought into this ideology that there's not enough right now, but one day there will be enough. And I just had someone tell me once, like, Alex, if you continue to always live life for what's around the corner, you'll look up one day and realize you never actually lived life. And I'm establishing patterns and habits and routines and rituals today that it's not like, oh, one day once I get quote unquote there, then I'll be able to do this all the right way. It's like I'm practicing right now for the future that I'm going to step into. And so the customers that I'm taking on right now, that's on a trajectory of the type of customers I'm going to get. The team members that I hire right now, that's putting me on a trajectory for the team that I'm going to have. The marriage that I invest into right now, the parenting that I invest into right now, right? The type of business that I invest into right now. It's not like I'm going to look up one day 5 years from now and it's like, oh my gosh, my business is radically different than the way that I built it for the past 5 years. It's like, every single decision you make is a step along a trajectory. It's a step along a path. And we just need to remember that as with everything we do in leadership, it has a compounding effect. And so my encouragement, and we can walk through what this looks like practically, is my encouragement is instead of building a tower on an incredibly faulty foundation that's eventually going to come crashing down and then you're going to have to rebuild the foundation anyway, why would you not just build the foundation right? And why would you not just maybe say, we're going to slow down to speed up, right? Slow is smooth and smooth is fast, right? So we're going to establish the fundamentals right, because once we get the fundamentals right, we're going to be able to really scale and grow. You know, the example that I always think of that I always talk to our team about and kind of have to preach to myself about is like Chick-fil-A for an extremely, extremely long time perfected one restaurant. They got one restaurant operationally sound, excellent, and man, just absolute quality. They got the culture right. They got the drive-through humming right. They did one really well. And the beauty about it is, man, once you get one dialed in and you figure out the formula for one, then you can reproduce like crazy. But so many of us are like, oh, I'm going to skip one. I'm going to go straight for five. And now you have five times the questions to solve for and you're addressing them all at once. And I just have never seen it go well.
Yeah, that's really good. And, you know, as you're talking about this, one of the things that came to my mind is I go back to when I started coaching in Entree Leadership. And I remember one of the first things I learned and got implemented in my business was having clear values and a clear mission as a business, right? So if you write out your values as a business owner and you have a clear defined mission, well, now you understand, okay, this is who we are. We care about quality, right? So then it's obviously you have to take risks and you have to do things to grow as a business owner. But I think what I've learned is I always reflect back on my values and my mission as a business owner. And when things aren't going the right way, where I'm not getting the result, I just say, like, I'm not willing to continue in that direction just for the sake of like more money. I'm going to stop and I'm going to fix what's broken so that I can grow in a healthy way. And I think what, unfortunately, what happens for some business owners is they feel this pressure to grow. And so they compromise on those core values and that mission for the sake of growth. And, you know, I think that that's a dangerous place to be in. And so I think we have to be very conscious of like our own character and integrity when making decisions to grow. And I think if we can have those core values and everything in place, then we can make those decisions that are going to reflect in the quality that we're looking for in whatever we do. Does that make sense?
Oh, it absolutely makes sense. Yeah. We at Path for Growth, we teach 12 fundamentals for healthy growth. And dude, you've already nailed like you've hit elements of the first five already. So number one is personal growth plan for the leader, because if you want to put your business in order, start by putting yourself in order. Number two is leader success statements, right? Most CEOs spend 80% of their time doing things that CEOs don't actually do. So you got to focus on what do CEOs actually do. Most of us don't actually understand what that is. Number three is a leadership team meeting. And even if the leadership team is just you, I would recommend you have a weekly leadership team meeting. We can talk about that more if you'd like to. And then number four and number five. Number four is mission statement, which you just hit home. And then number five is core values. And what you're doing in those first five fundamentals is Peter Drucker. He's kind of like the father of modern management, right? My favorite book that he wrote is called The Effective Executive. He said something that was so profound. He had so much of this leadership stuff figured out like 50 years ago, right? And we're just kind of reinventing it now that we have podcasts, right? But he said, the most effective executives don't make a great deal of decisions, which was a little bit mind-blowing whenever he wrote that, because everyone at that time, business literature was, if you're the leader, you're the decision maker, right? He said, the most effective executives don't actually make that many decisions. He said, they make the fewest number of decisions at the highest possible conceptual level. And so what is a mission statement? It's why do we exist? What are core values? They're what do we stand for? And what's so crazy is that when you define those things for yourself, but then also for others, you define the rules of the game. And we often think, oh man, that sounds like constraints, and constraints sound like a lack of freedom. Man, I love Jocko Willink, and what he kind of hits home is like discipline equals freedom, right? Constraints are the breeding ground for creativity. And what we find is that, man, within those constraints, we know the game that we're playing, and people can opt in or opt out of that game as they choose. And it makes decision-making so much easier. So to answer your question, yes, it really makes sense. And it fits in right along with the foundational fundamentals that we're talking about, Brandon.
And I think, unfortunately, so many guys and gals out there who are running businesses, they just don't have those fundamentals in place. And I know that when I started to get those fundamental things in place for my business, that was when I really started to create a better foundation, right? And I think that's what we keep reiterating here is like, you have to have a really good foundation to build on so that you can have that healthy growth that takes place. You know, in light of what you just said with those five fundamentals, let's go into the next point, which is if you have centralized decisions, that's a sign of unhealthy growth. And I know I was just recently listening to a podcast by Craig Groeschel, and he mentioned something along that lines of those lines. I want to say the name of the podcast episode was Eight Habits, I believe, of
Great Decision effective, Makers.
Of Great Decision Makers. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just listened to that one too. I just love Craig Groeschel. He's brilliant.
Yeah. He's phenomenal. So, but that was one of the points that he made, was that when you're the one who's making all the decisions, that's a very good sign that you're not you know, being a great decision maker, as the high level, leader in your organization. And, I love something else that he says. He also says delegate authority, not tasks, you know? So it's like this whole concept of like, you want to have leaders who understand that they have the authority to make decisions. And where do they get that authority? Obviously it comes from you, but how do they know what those right decisions are without having to come to you? Well, it's having a clearly defined mission and core values. So it's like, okay, well, when we make these decisions, does it line up with the mission of the business? Does it line up with our core values? And obviously there's room for, you know, people to make mistakes. And that's something that we have to learn as leaders too. But, what would you add to that? Like why is it so important that you're not the one making all the decisions?
Yeah, well, I can use the example of our company, right? Our mission is we exist to help impact-driven leaders step into who they were created to be so that others benefit and God is glorified. Our vision, which we haven't talked much about vision yet, but our vision is like we are working to operationalize the way that we create and deliver value by September of 2024. And so that's where we're going. Mission is why do we exist? Vision is where are we going? And then our core values are point to Jesus, alignment, freedom and responsibility, treat people like friends, and strength is for service. So within those boundaries, what I'm able to tell our team, and I promise you, this is what I actually do, right? Is I'm able to tell them, if you can make a legitimate case how, you know, the answer to your question or the solution to the problem or the decision that you need to make fits into the mission, the vision, and the values of the organization, don't ask, right? Like we already have the answer, right? We don't even need to talk about it. I've had people spend upwards of $1,000 without asking me because it was so directly connected to those things. And it's right. Like, you know, cause we think like, oh, I want to scale my company, right? And I want to have $1 million company, but I still want everyone to ask me anytime they spend anything over $100, right? It's like, it doesn't work that way. You can't have both. Yeah. And so if you're going to grow, growth costs you something, especially if it's going to be healthy growth. And what it costs you, one of the things that it costs you is control. And you just got to let go of the reins a little bit. And you got to say, man, I'm going to trust people. Now, the other thing that I would say, there's a lot of business and leadership writing, podcasts, things that don't hit home on this next piece. And I think it's to the detriment of the leaders that they serve, because I just see so often that so many businesses are leaving outrageous amounts of efficiency and effectiveness on the table because they lack one thing that's two words, role clarity, right? Role clarity. And so here's my vision for you and your business is that you and every role on your team, right, has 3 to 5 statements that define what winning looks like in that role. And we're not building it around a personality. We're building it around the role because we're going to depersonalize the role. And in doing so, we're going to start to operationalize the business. But so we call these success statements, right? They are statements that define what success is for the role. And it's really rooted in this belief that most people, most of the time, are just doing the best that they can. And like, what I had to realize is like the people in my company want to win. They want to do a good job. They actually do, right? And it's like oftentimes if they're not, they just aren't clear on what I'm actually expecting. The final quote I would associate with that, man, this just punched me in the gut whenever I heard it years ago. It's unspoken expectations are front-loaded resentment.
Right. That's
unspoken
so good.
Unspoken expectations are front-loaded resentment. And I had to realize that for myself as a leader, I'm way better at walking around my business after the thing's already done and pointing out the things that I don't like. It has been way harder for me to get better at casting a vision for what I actually expect to happen before it happens. But man, whenever I do that and whenever I practice that and engage with that, it's amazing. Like my team members like do the right thing and I like am happy and we're all getting along. And so, man, we got to get better at clarifying our expectations. And the quickest area where you can make a massive impact is getting serious about role clarity.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think for our listeners, like if you find yourself as a home service business owner and you are not off the ladder yet, you're not off the truck, take some notes on this. Get your mission written down. Get your core values written down. Be clear about who you are. And then I would say next, like obviously a key for getting off the ladder is like you have to build a team. So to Alex's point, you want to be very clear about those roles. And so we call those KPIs, right? So you want to have some key performance indicators for what winning looks like in each role. So for example, if you're a HVAC company and you're looking to hire a tech who's going to work in the field, you want to have a clearly defined set of KPIs of what winning looks like in that role so that when you hire somebody into that position, they understand, okay, this is the expectation for me and this is what winning looks like. And so there's no like guessing work. And I love the quote that you just mentioned, Alex, because a leader in my life, he's said that very often and he actually uses this example. He says, if I tell somebody that I'm leading, like, hey, I want you to go outside and get a rock. And then they go outside and they pick up this jagged, like rough, like, you know, looking rock and they bring it back to me. And then I chew them out and I say, that's not the rock I wanted. You know, I wanted a smooth rock. Why'd you bring me this rough one? And to his point, it's like, well, you didn't create that expectation for that person on what you wanted. So when they went out and they got what they thought you wanted and brought back what they thought was okay, and you got upset about it, it's actually not their fault. It's yours for not creating the proper expectation for those that you're leading. And I found myself at, you know, honestly making that mistake early on with my business, which created that resentment that you're talking about in my employees. And I lost amazing employees that I should have never lost because I didn't create clear expectations. Or here's the next thing that I want to get into is not enforcing the expectations, because I think that's what goes into your next point with like the backbiting and like the culture. It's, you know, when you don't uphold the standard, then people can, you know, resent one another. I've had that happen where it's like someone who was hired for a particular role may not be living up to the mission, the values, you know, they're not getting those KPIs accomplished for their role. And I'm not going to them and holding them accountable. So then what that causes is like resentment within the team. So can you talk, let's go into that next point about like that backbiting that takes place and why it's so fundamental to address that so that you can have that healthy growth.
Yeah, man, so sharp, Brandon. So we kind of mentioned around this word a couple times now, but one of the topics that we spend the most time on within Path for Growth that has just been transformative for myself and my business and the businesses that we work with is the word operationalize. And so we define operationalize is the practice of making excellence predictable and repeatable instead of haphazard and accidental. What we found is like, man, there's good things happening in our company, but so often it's like, if you ask us how they happen and where it's written down, we're like, oh, we have no clue how it happened. And it's all up here, right? It's in my head, right? So everything we're talking about right now really represents you getting your business out of your head, right? That's what we're talking about. And there's four steps to operationalize. You just hit home on the third step. So we can operationalize roles, we can operationalize meetings, we can operationalize projects, right? But what we're talking about right now is operationalizing roles. Step one is standardize. And so it's exactly what we already talked about. What does winning look like in the role? And to hit home on the idea that you kind of already addressed is we're going to talk about the outcomes, not the tasks. So we're going to standardize what are the outcomes that this role needs to accomplish. The person who has this job accomplishes these results is the question that we're answering. Standardize. Number two is document. We tell ourselves, and this is a standard that I hold myself accountable to, I don't get to hold someone accountable to a standard that isn't written down in a manner that is clear and accessible. Right? It's not fair and it's not good leadership for me to run around and get mad at people for things that aren't actually written down anywhere. And so many leaders, this gets really screwy, right? You're like, oh, I don't like that person anymore. I want to fire them, but HR is going to make me have a case for firing them. So now I'm going to start documenting. It's like, oh, why didn't we just have the documentation so that they could actually do a good job instead of doing the documentation so that you can catch them once they're already doing a bad job, right? It's just really messed up. So standardized document. What do you want to document? You want to document the outcomes to be accomplished. We call those success statements, and you want to document the proven process. So what's the best practice for accomplishing those outcomes? Number three, evaluate. This is exactly what you hit home. So it's standardized, document, evaluate. Most businesses don't scale well because they don't have a rhythm for evaluation. We start with the end in mind, maybe standardize, but we don't end with the end in mind. After the job's done, after the project is completed, after we finish the quarter, we don't look back and say, how'd that go compared to how we said we wanted it to go, right? And so, you know, you could take this example and apply it to any industry. Our one-on-one coaches, right? Our one-on-one coaches are former business owners. All of them have owned a business and scaled a business before, and then they get put in the coaching seat. And we really challenge them to grow as coaches at a really rapid rate. We put them through a pretty relentless training process over the course of 90 days. After every coaching call, they get an automated email that has the standard, which are the five success statements of what effective coaching looks like, and they red, yellow, green themselves on that standard. And then that red, yellow, green gets submitted to their manager. And then at a anywhere between biweekly to monthly one-on-one, the manager reviews their past call reviews, and it's them rating themselves. It's just them evaluating themselves, right? And they talk about potential for improvement, right? Where are you yellow, and where do you have the opportunity to move your yellows to greens, your reds to yellows? And it just becomes such a constructive conversation about growth, right? And it's actually really engaging too. So that's evaluate, right? And it doesn't have to be an automated form. It could start as just like a weekly one-on-one for 15 minutes where you're saying, hey, what matters and how are you doing and what matters? And then that brings up the fourth step of operationalize, which is improve, right? If the only way the business improves is when you point out problems and come up with solutions, then you are the bottleneck on your business. What we want to do is create a culture that values constant, never-ending improvement, and where people are constantly tweaking, making minute changes, iterating to get more efficient and more effective.
That's so good. So much value there. If you're listening to this, I hope you are taking notes, because so much wisdom in what Alex is sharing right now. And I think that's a good way to lead into this last point that Alex had made, which was like, if your stress levels are going up, you're clearly, you know, not experiencing healthy growth. And I think it would be safe to say, like, if you're not doing these other things that we just talked about, well, the result is going to be stress, right? So I think just an easy anecdote to that stress is like, implement the things that myself and Alex have mentioned in your business. Would you add anything to that to like reduce that stress that you're experiencing or to avoid it? Are you a home service business owner that is trying to get off the ladder and work on your business instead of in it? Well, you need a robust CRM that is going to help your business to be more efficient and streamlined so that you can get your time back to focus on things that are going to help your business grow. Now, Jobber is going to help you to manage your client requests, your quotes, your jobs, and your invoicing. You can do everything all in one place and manage everything from start to finish. And not to mention Jobber payments. You don't have to chase around checks, try to go and collect cash, or wait for checks to come in the mail anymore. You can just get paid right on the spot with Jobber payments. If you're interested in implementing Jobber into your business, click on the show notes below and sign up for a free trial of Jobber. That's not it. Reach out to me. I want to help make sure that you maximize everything that Jobber has to offer so that you can get your business growing right away. Thank you so much. And let's get back to the Off the Ladder podcast.
Well, I can speak from my own personal experience that for me, the root emotion of stress is oftentimes fear, right? And more often than not, what I wouldn't use the language of I'm afraid, but what I'm actually experiencing there is anxiety, and the core emotion associated with anxiety is fear, right? And the thing that I'm typically afraid of there is the unknown. And what I'm really afraid of is, man, I'm working so hard, and what if it all doesn't amount to anything? Like, what if the life that I'm living right now, where I'm spinning my wheels, where this business feels like a hamster wheel, where I'm just really tired, where I feel like I can't get my head above water, where I feel like I'm not enough for what I want to do, what if that is like my life? What if that's not just a season? What if that is like forever? And that will create a ton of stress, because that results in aimlessness. And then I don't know, like, am what I doing right now, does it even matter? And does it connect to like a better future? And so I would say, like, actually commit yourself to an aim that you're willing to burn the bridges for, right? Like, say, like, man, I'm going to operationalize this business, and that's going to require me to do different things to get different results. It's going to be a lot of hard work, but that's kind of the point. Right. It's, of course, it's not going to be easy. If it was easy, you know, that's the wrong path. Right. There's so many business coaching firms out there that they're like, five easy steps. It's like, shut up, run away from that group, right? Because they're not giving you good advice. Right. It's going to be hard. Right. But since when was anything that was worth it easy? Right. And so, yes, it's going to be hard. The thing that will reduce your stress is that there will be meaning in the actions and the work that you're taking. Instead of feeling like you're just spinning your wheels and you're running on this treadmill or this hamster wheel, right? You know, like, okay, every action that I take is a step in a process to achieve a desired result. And yes, it's going to be hard work, but hard work isn't bad. I actually think hard work is what we were created for. It's just going to be part of a grander narrative. And then instead of feeling like a chore, it's going to feel like an adventure. That's my experience.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think for myself too, you know, I love that you mentioned fear and anxiety, you know, are what really are the main things that lead to that stress. And something that I've done and have had to create a practice of is when I've experienced a failure or shortcoming in my business, or where I've like messed up and, you know, I've been going through like a really hard time in my business, when I get through it, I like journal about it or write it down or write lessons that I learned through it. Because what I find is that the next time I go through a challenge, I can remind myself, hey, you have what it takes. This isn't the first time that you faced a challenge and had to overcome something. You can do this. And I probably faced my biggest challenge in business in 2022, where I lost all of my employees. I had a team of 12, and then myself, and I literally went down to zero employees. It was just me. And that was a very stressful time for me. But one of the things that I told myself in that season was just, and it's so funny, it is, I talked about this in the episode before this, but I just told myself, like, you just need to survive tomorrow. Just make it through the day, win the day. If you can just get through tomorrow without quitting, and then go the next day and the next day and just keep stacking up wins, you'll get through this. And sure enough, I did. And I think we underestimate ourselves and what we're capable of. And but if we can get into that habit of, you know, tracking those wins and tracking those times where we've overcome, then when the challenges come our way again, it's like, okay, no, I have what it takes. I can do this. I just need to take it as it comes. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have much to add to what you just said. I really appreciate you for sharing your personal story there. I would say that my experience has been the same, that when I journal, when I reflect, when I write down what I'm grateful for, what I often end up with is basically the equivalent of a book about God's faithfulness, right?
And yeah, that's good.
You know, and man, I can get so ungrateful, right? And anxiety and gratitude can't exist in the brain at the same time, right? So if I'm feeling fear, it's like I'm not feeling grateful. But man, the minute I adopt gratitude, it extinguishes anxiety. And then I start to realize, not that I've got this, because I certainly don't got this, right? But God's got this. And the good thing is I'm submitted to God. And like, I'm not trying to build my kingdom. I'm trying to build his kingdom. And this is his business. And I'm just trying to steward it. And when I adopt that mindset, holy cow, I sleep better. My relationships get better. And my leadership and wisdom as it relates to my business gets better because I'm holding it with a looser grip.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, I love that you circle it back to just having that faith in God's, you know, the fact that God's in control. And I think the reality is that even our failures, our mishaps, you know, the valleys play a role in the purpose that God has for our lives. You know, we learn, you know, I've learned so much in valley seasons of life. And, you know, when I've made mistakes and it's helped me to grow as a leader and to understand that failure is not like the end of the world. And I think that's some people or leaders might be so afraid of failing, you know, or making mistakes that it just like paralyzes them from even trying to grow or move forward because there's that fear and anxiety. So I've just learned that failure is not a bad thing. I learn a lot from it and I can see God's hand even in the midst of it. So it's a great reminder there. Well, Alex, as we're wrapping this up, I want to be respectful of your time. Could you just tell the listeners if they're interested in getting involved with Path for Growth or, you know, they're interested in the resources that you offer, what do you offer and how could they reach out to you to take advantage of that?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question. Well, we put content out every week on our podcast. That's the Path for Growth podcast. Don't you dare stop listening to the Off the Ladder podcast because Brandon's got some seriously good stuff going on here specifically for this industry. But if you're looking for some more content, we put out new episodes every Tuesday. And then beyond that, kind of the bread and butter of our business is one-on-one coaching for impact-driven leaders that own or run a business. Our sweet spot is typically for business owners that do over $1 million in annual revenue and are looking to scale and grow beyond themselves. However, we've definitely worked with business owners that have smaller companies than that if they are intentional about wanting to grow at a rapid rate in a healthy way. And so if you're interested in that, pathforgrowth.com is where you can go to get all that information. We also have a bunch of free resources about operationalizing your businesses. We do free workshops just about every quarter, so you can check out more information about that there as well. Brandon, man, such a fan of yours. Seriously, such thoughtful questions, and your insights surrounding business are just so solid and so necessary for this industry. So I'm just grateful for the time to talk to you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I appreciate you and the value that you brought to my listeners today. And, you know, I think as business owners, we're on a journey, right? We're on that path. And, you know, it's I think one of the most important things I've learned is it's not about a destination. It's just enjoying the journey. And so we're all in different places. We're all experiencing, you know, different things in our businesses. But man, it's amazing when we can find community and we can, you know, do it together and learn and grow. And I think that's how we succeed and go to that next level in our businesses. So I appreciate your time today, Alex. And for those of you who are listening to the podcast today, if you're watching on YouTube, I'd appreciate it if you could like the video, comment, share it with somebody, subscribe to the channel. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could rate and review the show and share it with somebody else so that they can glean from all of the wisdom that's been shared here today. Thank you again, and we'll see you next time on the next episode of the Off the Ladder podcast.